Hey, why don't you take out your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms. We began a new series in the book of Psalms. We're going to spend the summer in Psalms. Last week I talked about getting a grip on the Psalms, not simply hearing, but reading and writing and reviewing and even memorizing as a way to grab hold of, to hold on to God's Word. I suggested last week that worship is universal, that everyone worships. It is the natural expression, our natural expression to something that we value, something that thrills or wonders us, and to those things that we enjoy. In the ultimate sense, we are to worship God, and Him alone we are to serve. This morning I want to talk about singing, and why does the Bible call us to, exhort us to sing, and the significance behind that. But before we do, last week we read from the book of Psalms corporately, and I wonder if anybody marked anything in their Bible. Is there something that stood out? Is there a word from the book of Psalms that you'd like to share? Something that you read to encourage another? Anybody have something that they read last week? Yeah, Mark. Yeah, give us a quick overview.
So, I will praise the Lord who counsels me, even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because You will not abandon me to the grave. Nor will You let Your Holy One be shaken. Now I know it kind of hit home with me, because probably that hit right to the last year. I've been kind of having struggles with, thank God there, but
there you go. You got your assignment there. Notice that last verse, you will fill me with joy in Your presence. I like another translation that says, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. There's no more joyful being than God. And if you'll join Him, that joy will, it's contagious. It'll infiltrate into your life, and you'll begin to experience the joy of the Lord, His joy in your life. Great passage, Mark. Thank you. David, you got one there? Stand up and read it. Outstanding. Looking up in the sky and declared, as the heavens declare God's glory. Another verse. Anybody else have one from Psalms? Yeah. D, this week's reading. What do you got? Outstanding. Psalm 18, 17 through 20. One more verse. Anybody have one from the Psalms this week? Yeah, Mary Jo. Outstanding. He, God, restores my soul. Pick up with me this morning in Psalm 33. And let's ask and answer the question, why sing? Sing to the Lord a new song. We'll see that repeated throughout the Psalms. Why? What is it about singing specifically that God has asked us or invited us to join that angelic chorus in song? Psalm 33, verse 1, 2, and 3. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. It fits. It's the right thing. It's a good fit. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make music to Him with the 10-stringed lyre. Have we got any lyres in the audience this morning? Not that kind of lyre. The L-Y-R-E. It's an ancient guitar-like instrument. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Let me suggest three reasons why you ought to sing if you don't. The benefits, the advantages of singing. First of all, for emotional health. Have you ever heard of mood music? You and I take for granted sometimes, or actually we don't even perceive the impact of music on your mind, on your spirit, on your soul. It is a means through which moods can be enhanced. Just listening to via the ears. Not only the art that is music, but there's a mathematical element to music as well. It's a means of expression, sentiment, but it also carries frequently some kind of message or content. Somebody said you don't sing because you're happy. You're happy because you sing. Just the opposite. The happiness of your life to a larger degree depends upon the quality of your thoughts. And as you and I purposefully, intentionally sing, and perhaps a simple song, something that you learned in church or in your younger years, a melody to the Lord, as we're instructed or exhorted to do, that has a way of infiltrating into my heart and my spirit. It really does. You want to start the day right? I want to give you an assignment tomorrow morning. Grab a cassette CD, some kind of praise music, and stick that into your player as you get dressed and as you get your day going. Set the tone for the day. Jump in your car, turn the radio to one of those Christian music stations, FRN or WVCL, somewhere where you can begin to saturate your soul with music. The impact on your emotions is significant. Let me see if I can illustrate that. The Bible says we're to praise the Lord with a harp. Well, I brought my harp with me this morning. We'll see if I can alter your mood. Just a sec, okay? My mouth's a little dry, maybe tough. But I'm going to see if I can get you to feel a certain way with my harp. Are you ready for this? How'd that feel? You feeling it? You feeling it? Are you feeling it? Not yet? Let me give you a little German tune here. Thank you. Did you get it? As I hyperventilate in front of everyone. What does that do to the soul? Can you feel something happening? Different modes or styles of music are powerful. There's power there in music. And God knows that. And because of that, He's told us as His people, employ it to your advantage and to God's glory. Now, likewise, I believe the devil knows that as well. In fact, there's evidence from Isaiah 14 that the devil, with all of his pomp in heaven, was quite musical. In fact, some have suggested he was the director of the choir when he was kicked out. And he likewise has employed music as a means through getting a message into the hearts of people. It lowers your resistance. It really does. For emotional health, for physical health. Do you realize that singing is all natural? It's low calorie. It's gluten free. It's 100% organic. It lowers cholesterol. It strengthens immunity. It lessens stress. It strengthens your lungs and it sharpens your mind. Did you realize that? Well, you can do it all you want. It's great for you. To sing is a powerful medium and a means to, I think, not only emotional but physical health. Wow. There's also a spiritual element or emphasis here, as we see there in the psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I don't know how many of you speak to yourself. How many of you spend time talking to yourself? All of us do. In fact, if you realize it, whether you realize it or not, you talk to yourself more than you talk to anyone else. Can we admit that corporately? Yeah. We all need counseling, don't we? The Bible tells you when you are out there, tell your soul, come on, soul, get with it. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, soul. So you get up in the morning, get in the shower. As you're showering, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Come on, soul. Bless His holy name. And I begin to apply a simple principle of Scripture. I do exactly what the Bible tells me. I'm going to bless Him. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to sing to Him. I'm going to make a joyful if it's only a noise. That's okay. It's a great place to go. And to do so for our spiritual benefit. Ephesians 5, Paul tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18. And then it goes on, verse 19. Speak to one another and guess what? In Psalms. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit and the way that He will move in and through us is when we take God's Word and not only apply it to our lives, but share it with somebody. Hey, that reminds me of a verse I read yesterday in my devotions. And I speak that verse, I share that verse with you or with someone else. And the Spirit is working in and through me as He fills my life to overflowing. And to that, for my spiritual benefit. It's a powerful medium, isn't it? Music. Now, you'll notice in your outlines this morning on the inside of your bulletin there, we are asking people to give, to bring forward either a text from Scripture. You got a verse that you read this week that really impressed you that you would like to see put to music, a Bible verse or text. Or if you've got a melody, a little ditty on your mind that's just, you don't know maybe perhaps where it comes from, or maybe you do, but you'd like to see that melody matched with Scripture, with words for song. I want you to do me a favor and write that down. The process of the summer, at any point where you feel like God's given you a verse from the Bible that you'd like to for us to put to music, or you've got a little tune, a melody that you would like to match words from Scripture, bring it forward, give it to us, and we'd like to do just that. One of our goals in 2012 as a congregation is to develop and to promote what I'm calling indigenous music. It's from within. I think that's an ideal for every church, that from that church, God would give songs, something that we can birth and sing. We've sang numerous songs that are written from within this congregation. You may not be aware of them because we typically don't publish that. But we want to do that more and more. We want to use that as a way for us to corporately express our love and praise to God. And that is He tells us to do. in His Word, to sing to Him a new song, one that's never been sung before. You want to do that in the next week or two? Bring forward a text or a melody, and let's see how God uses that and this for His glory and honor. Now, I want to suggest to you some practical and instructive ways to use the Psalms. What I want to encourage you to do as you're reading through the Psalms with us this summer, if you have in the margin of your Bible, perhaps on the title page of Psalms, a space there. Notice in your outline, in your bulletin this morning, the next section there, what I'd like for you to do is perhaps write down words that I've included here. Afraid, discouraged, anxious, doubting, grieving, suffering, angry. And as you read the Bible, to add to, from your own study, the list. Let me give you an example just from the Psalms of where I would turn when I'm afraid or discouraged or anxious. Turn to Psalm 34 and verse 4. In my Bible, this verse is underlined. I don't know about yours, but we said if you'll use a pen and if you'll put your hand to work, that will help you to retain and integrate what you're learning or reading into your life. Psalm 34, 4. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from what? How many fears? From all my fears. Has that ever happened to you? Boy, it has to me. Great passage. And guess what? I want to keep that in mind. So I'm going to write it down in the margin. I'm going to underline it here. And I'm going to write it down under the theme of afraid. I'm going to make my own little concordance here. And as I come across other verses that deal with fear or being afraid, I'll do the same. So I've got a list. At any point where I'm struggling with fear, I'm going to go to the book of Psalms. How about discouragement? Anybody dealt with discouragement lately? Anybody been disillusioned more than once a week? Despairant, maybe depressed? Boy, in some form or fashion, all of us have. Let me give you a passage of Scripture. It's in Psalm 42, 5. Great passage. In fact, it's been of great help to me numerous times in my life. I wrote it on a 3x5 card initially, along with a couple other verses when I was dealing with discouragement years ago. Still got the 3x5, in fact. And occasionally I refer to it. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? He's talking to himself, isn't he? And why so disturbed within me? Well, I'll tell you why. Because of this and that and the other thing. We've got all kinds of reasons to be discouraged, don't we? Next part. You do if you put your hope in yourself, or in the economy, or in the government, or in someone else. But what happens if you do what the Bible says and put your ultimate hope in? It's what the psalmist discovered. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Wow. And on goes the psalm. Psalm 42, 5. How about anxiety? You and I get nervous, we're nerved up, we're uptight because we're not sure about what's going to happen next, tomorrow or at work, wherever that might be. Psalm 46, let me lend you a verse here. From the sons of Korah, Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Who is God? You aren't, and certainly I am not. Because He is God, and if you know who He is, you know that He will be exalted among the nations and on the earth, including in your life. We sang that song here before. It's in our hymnal. Be still and know that I am God. The problem with anxiety is that it hypes up your adrenaline. And your body operates almost continually on a fight and flight response. Burns out your serotonin levels. And after, it'd be like revving your engine, sitting in the drive and just running the engine on high, just as high as you can do. That's exactly what anxiety does to your system physiologically. And what you need and what I need in those case scenarios more than anything else is rest. You need to let off the gas and just go back to idle. To be honest with you, I haven't got any other way to do that for somebody or for myself unless I turn to God. And I can be still and know that He's God. You see it there? How about doubt and dealing with doubt? Psalm 27, outstanding place to go in Scripture. I want to take note of that and put it in my margin of my Bible. In fact, I want to add to my list as I'm reading through the Psalms this summer. Psalm 27, 13 and 14. Mentioned a 3x5 back in 1987 when I was struggling ministry in Argentina at the time. It was a strange situation for me. I spent about a year and a half dealing with anxiety, what could have been diagnosed as an anxiety disorder had I had a counselor or psychiatrist close. And it was the Lord that I turned to at that time. And along with Psalm 42:5 that I just suggested, I wrote on a 3x5 card, Psalm 27, 13 and 14. I stuck it in my top pocket and I carried it with me continually. And at any point when I was doubting or struggling, I would take out that and I would remind myself who God is and what God has said. Verse 13 and 14 says, I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be still. Be strong and take heart. And wait. And we want to hustle off, don't we, in situations like that. We want to get something going here. And almost invariably, it's the opposite. The Lord says, slow down and wait. Look to me. I remember 1987, how many years ago, I was wondering if I'd even be in the ministry in 1988. But God's word has rung true for me. I will see the goodness of the Lord, and I have so many years after. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. How about sadness and grief? Boy, Psalm 51 is an outstanding passage of Scripture. I think it could apply to a number of you today who are grieving. You're grieving the loss of a loved one. Maybe you're grieving the loss of a relationship. Maybe you're grieving the loss of hope, the death of a dream. Psalm 51:17, I think, has special meaning for you. The psalmist writes, the sacrifices of God, we think of sacrifices, we think of bulls and goats, don't we? You know what God is looking for? He wants you to give up to Him a broken spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The best thing that you can do in the face of grief, sadness, is to grieve. It is to be sad at that time. It is to offer your broken spirit and say, God, I haven't got anything to give. I am breaking down before you. Necessary to cry. And God says, you know what? I won't reject that as a sacrifice. Those are the kinds that He accepts. It's for that reason that Jesus in the Beatitudes would later say, blessed are those who mourn. There's a blessing that can only come through grief. You won't know, because the next part of the verse Jesus says, God's comfort, until you've been there. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be, you better believe it. That's when God will move in close and do something profound and significant that He could not do in your life in any other context. About sickness and suffering, Psalm 119, 50. It's the longest chapter of the Bible. We'll look at it this summer as we study the Psalms. Go to the verse 50. You're going to have to page your way through. It's several pages long, this Psalm. Verse 50, my comfort in my suffering. If there is anything, if we can add comfort or consolation to you in your struggle, it's the promise of God. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. Anybody been there? All you've got left, all you've got to hang on to is what God has said. Now that forces me to ask, and that's all I ask you as well, what promise? What has God said? Has He said something that I can apply personally in the state that I'm in at the time, in physical suffering or struggle? Well, sure he has. Let me just give you one example. In fact, you may want to write in the margin if you underline that verse, Romans 8:28, in Romans 8:38 and 39. Go over to the New Testament just a quickie here. Speed forward to the right till you find the book of Romans, past Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just before Corinthians. Find chapter 8 of Romans. Let me give you an example of God's word, a promise that you can claim even when life is at its worst and you're struggling. The Apostle Paul wrote, "And we know that in some things God works for good to those who love him." Is that how it reads? Oh, I'm sorry, I think I got the wrong. Okay. "And we know that in most things God works for good." Is that how it reads? What does your Bible say? Mine, this is the East Gilead version there. In all things? You got to be kidding. In every situation or circumstance? Do you think God could do something good? I do. The only reason I believe that is because he said it. I didn't say that. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says that we know something. God works together for good in all things. He does not say that all things are good, because they're not. In the worst that this world can dish out, the Bible says God's going to work together for your good and his glory. If you've been called according to his Spirit, if you love God, there's the clincher there. And have been called according to his purpose. And I do. And I've answered his call, as I would suspect most of you have. For that reason, then, I can turn to God's word and I can hold on to that. And as the psalmist says, he sustains me in my suffering through his promise. 38 and 39, similarly, in chapter 8 of Romans, "For I'm convinced," you may not be convinced yet, but this was Paul's conviction. Hopefully it'll become ours as well. "That neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers," yourself included, incidentally, "neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to do" what? "To separate us" from what? "The love of God that is found in Jesus Christ our Lord." And so the psalmist says, my comfort and my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. I grab a hold of that and I say, God, you said that you're going to work together for good in all things. I'm going to hold on to that, and that's going to sustain me, because I'm in the all things here. It's a worst case scenario. Very practical. Place that you and I can go in the Bible is the book of Psalms. When we're afraid or discouraged or anxious, when you're doubting, when you're grieving, when you're suffering. Let me give you one more. Even though we don't want to admit it, even when you're angry, you can open the book of Psalms and God's going to calm you down. Psalms 4, verse 4 and 5. "In your anger, do not sin." Is anger sinning? Necessarily? Jesus ever get angry? You think God gets ticked off from time to time? You know what the right response to injustice is always anger. If you aren't angry about the unjust things that are happening in our world, you ought to be. There's something wrong with you and I. You see somebody get pushed down recess, that ought to make you upset. But now what I do with that anger, how that energizes me for good or for bad, is another story, isn't it? "In your anger, do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Then offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord." Get something that's ticked you off here as of late? Why don't you take God's word to heart, the instructions from the book of Psalms? Why don't you lie down and search your heart? Ask yourself, why is this making me so mad? Then offer yourself as a sacrifice, sacrificially, Lord, and trust this situation to you and look for your guidance as to my part and what you would have me to do. Well, The Psalms are outstanding. They're so practical. And you and I can go there at any time when we're dealing with a number of different scenarios in our life. As you go to the Psalms, and let me just give you a quick summary. We're going to be there this summer. But notice the third point here in my outline this morning. What are you going to find? Well, you're going to find a variety of types of songs or psalms. Some we saw like last week, Psalm 95 and 100, are worship songs. Some are psalms of thanksgiving, Psalm 107. Let men everywhere give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And over in that psalm, he's going to remind us in every situation we ought always to give thanks to God for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalms of thanksgiving. You're also going to find in the psalms confession psalms. We'll read one this week if you're in line with us. Reading through Psalm 35 this week. Psalm 32 is a confession psalm. And the psalmist is going to admit, you know what? When I held it in, I felt horrible. And when I finally confessed my sins, I found release, relief, and freedom. You got to read it to believe it. Instruction psalm. We saw one last week about the man that God blesses. Psalm 1. Or I think it was 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry. Psalms of ascent from Psalm 120 to 134. They are titled specifically. Always read the title of the psalm. It's going to tell you who wrote it or what it's about in general. You'll find what are called the Psalms of ascent. Now, when's the last time that you ascended? What does that mean? It implies that you're going up or down. Yeah. Jerusalem, the center of worship for Israel, was on a hill. And to go there, everyone in the nation, when they traveled to Jerusalem, three times a year, they were instructed to go there for national festivals. And they all had to ascend to Jerusalem. And when they did, they sang these songs, Psalms 120 through 1, as they were walking. As you would admit, or as you would imagine, our soldiers marching, when Johnny comes marching home again, as they're heading to Jerusalem, they're singing songs that were written specifically about their journey to Jerusalem in order to worship. Those are called Psalms of Ascent. There are creation psalms. David mentioned Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they show forth speech. Night after night they give us his knowledge. There is no language or speech where his words are not heard. Which words? The ones that the heavens declare. Throughout the earth, in other words, the psalmist is saying, everyone everywhere, when they look up at night, in their hearts they hear God's message that he's there, that he is God. Those are creation psalms. They're outstanding. For those of you who love nature, those are a great place to go. And just to remind us who God is. Historic psalm, Psalm 90, one of my favorite. We'll look at it. It's written by Moses as he recounts those 40 years in the desert and who God is or was for them. Messianic psalms. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's Psalm 22. Jesus from the cross, as he's dying, screams out. Literally, you know what he told the people who were standing around as he died? Psalm 22. Psalm 22. You see, if I were to say to you, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, finish the line. Saved a wretch like me. Let's go all the way. I once was, now I'm found, was blind. How did you do that? Now, what number is that in our hymnals? We don't remember them by the numbers, do we? We remember the hymn by the first line. Guess what? So did Israel. Didn't have them numbered like we do. But when Jesus from the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Every Israelite standing there could have finished the song because they sang it on Saturdays, not Sundays, wherever they were. And they could have finished and found. That's a messianic song, and it proclaims, it predicts some thousand years prior what Jesus was going through at that moment. Wow, those are powerful psalms. We need to learn about messianic songs. And one of my favorites are the lament psalms. That's a nice word. A better word is psalms of complaint. Like Job, it is okay with God from time to time if you register your complaint. Psalm 13 is an excellent example. And in those psalms, as you're reading complaining psalms, you're going to hear the psalmist saying, how's come? Why, God? How long do we have to go through this? He's complaining, so to speak. But there's a pattern. If you'll study those psalms, you'll find that the psalmist invariably starts with himself and ends up, guess where? With God. Great pattern for every one of us when we're struggling in dealing. It's okay to register your complaint. Just don't stay there, is what God is going to teach you as you study the Psalms. There's a way to do it so that you take your complaint and you ultimately submit it to God. And you remind yourself what God is doing or could do in and through your circumstances. In terms of application this morning, again, the Apostle Paul tells us to be filled with the Spirit, to speak to one another with psalms. Let me ask you, are you ready to learn some new songs? You want to do some singing this summer? I suggested that there's power in music, isn't there, in song? The Lord knows that. You and I need to know that. The devil also knows it. It's a powerful means as well as a medium, a package through which a message is given. Singing. Are you willing to arm yourself with the Psalms? Number two, are you willing to do some work daily? I want you to read from Psalm 26 through 35 this week. If you've got a spiritual disciplines chart, just follow along. If you haven't got one of these, grab one in the lobby on the way out this morning and catch us, because we're into the third week now, June 11th through the 15th, and we're going to read Psalms 26 through 35. Take note of what you read. Mark something and bring it in next week to share with others. Something that God spoke to your heart or said to you via His Word in the book of Psalms. And that's my third challenge for you, is to consider sharing what you're learning with someone else. You know, there's another reason why you ought to read the Psalms. And someday you and I, as we step across the line into heaven, are going to encounter the saints of old. What a day. Unbelievable. You know, you go to Disney World as a kid and you've seen it, parents, where that kid spots Mickey or Minnie or one of the characters. And boy, do they get excited, don't they? You can hardly hold them back. In some cases, they're quite frightened, I should say. Some of those guys are pretty scary, aren't they? Imagine not Disney World, but heaven, where you eyeball David or Moses or Abraham as they're walking across the street, and you say to the person, isn't that Abraham? Now, what would you do if you go to heaven and King David were to come up to you, introduce himself? Of course, you'd know everything. You know who he was. And he'd say, hey, by the way, did you read my book? What'd you think? You're going to be in a pickle if you don't read this book. And not only David, there's a whole host of guys in heaven who are going to want to know what you thought about their book on earth. And if for no other reason, I want to save you some embarrassment someday and say, yeah, it was a little wordy, but I got the point, David. Thanks for writing it. Lord, we thank you for your word. There's so much here, and we're just breaking the surface as we get into the book of Psalms as a church this summer. Wow, what a practical place to go. And in so many respects, we see a place where we can find help when we're afraid or discouraged or anxious or doubting, when we're angry or we're grieving or struggling. Your Word, it's an outstanding resource for all of us. Forgive us for not turning there first more frequently. And I pray for myself and for each one that as we reacquaint ourselves with this part of Scripture, the poetic literature, and in particular the book of Psalms, that the power that is encoded in these songs would seep into our souls, and that as a result, you would capture our hearts good, and that we would gladly, along with the hosts of heaven, sing praise to you. Give us a new song as a church, Lord, that we can sing as an expression of our joy and wonder in your worth in worship. That's my prayer this morning, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? Let's conclude with a psalm. It's in your hymnals. It's Psalm 145, actually. Great is the